A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Allahi Narajim Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Respected viewers in Islam, Assalamu Alaikum and welcome to this week's show where we'll be talking about television and the effects on the subconscious. Today in the show, we're going to analyse the dangers of the television. We find that in modern day age there are TV sets with 800 plus channels, and we find that sometimes the TV becomes the babysitter whilst parents are busy with work, parents are busy with their housework. And I want to ponder on a line that Imam Hussein delivered on the day of Ashura, where he says to the enemies, "You have surrendered the freedom of your mind to evil." Now, it's this surrendering of the mind that I want to analyze, because as carers or as parents, we falsely believe that we're a good judge of what is good and what is bad, and you know, we're vetting what our children are watching, and we think that we're able to keep them away from the subconscious effects of the TV. However, I think we've given ourselves a sense of false security. Why? Because studies prove that the media has effect on our attitudes, it has an effect on our feelings, and it has an effect on our behaviour. And there's evidence to support this scientifically. So here to discuss with me the subject of TV and the effect on the subconscious is my first guest, Sister Renda Reed. She's a youth worker and a mentee, and she's trying to help young people have a voice from disadvantaged backgrounds by giving them a platform and helping them to learn transferable skills. She's also studying psychology at the moment, and she's writing a thesis on behavioral economics and how personality can affect the susceptibility of advertising. My second guest is Sister Sakina Chandu. She's a qualified optometrist. She has worked in the healthcare field. She's a mother of three children. She's an active member of her community, and she focuses particularly on work with mothers and children. So, assalamu alaikum and welcome to this week's show.
Alaikum assalam.
So, let's delve straight in. I mean, obviously, since I was a child, and I assume since you were a children too, we've seen a massive influx in the amount of channels that are available. We have children's channels and adult channels and entertainment channels and sports channels and you name it. Can we say, and I'll come to you, Rend, first, that TV is leading to the downfall of people's social interactions?
Well, to some extent, we can say that. Though, with the increase in media and technology, I would say the phones and the internet and the computers and the laptops and the iPads, they all have a much more pervasive influence on the lives of our children and our youth, especially because they are handy, they're everywhere. People can't take boredom anymore. They have to spend time doing something.
But you say like laptops and iPads, and you know, I look guilty here. But the TV comes with it. It comes with an app. It comes with YouTube. You can do iPlayer. You can download Gerbila TV. You name it. Every kind of TV channel can be downloaded. So that before, if you were out, you were out, and the TV wasn't yours until you were home. Now the TV comes with you.
Yes.
And so I kind of like feel that, you know, you look at people on the trains and it's like everyone's in their own world. Nobody.
It's very sad.
And when you look at Britain, a lot of outsiders say they don't even smile at people. And I feel that we're being led to an insular world, no?
Yes, definitely. I agree totally with you. Every day when I'm taking the tube, everybody is in their little bubble, on their phone, on their iPad, rarely on a book, which is sad because books are so essential. And, you know, what's more essential is social interaction. So if we are not socially interactive with other people, how do we want to develop our social skills? This is something that's vital. It makes us human. We need the social interaction. We can't just have that false sense of security where we think, oh, I'm being social, I'm writing people. No, these are not real people. They're just online. Mm. They are real people writing you back, yes, but you're not seeing them face to face. There is so much from the message that they are sharing with you that's missing. You know, everything is down to interpretation. People can lie to you, and you will not know the difference because you can't see them personally. Yeah. You know, it's so important to, I mean, apparently, according to studies, over 70% of interaction is nonverbal. So what I'm saying is not as important as, you know, the tone of my voice or my face or the way I, you know, the way I act, the way, you know, you see that I'm actually meaning what I'm saying, you know, my gestures, things like that, body language. And all this is missing by us, you know, becoming clued to our televisions or to the phone or the iPad, which is, in this case, work-related, so it's fine. So yes, definitely, I do agree with you. I wonder what Sakina thinks of this.
If I bring it to a family situation, 100% I feel TV has a negative impact on social interaction. And the thing with TV and the media is, you know, it starts well, television in particular, starts from children aged under two.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we see that there are channels out there for babies now. There's such a thing called baby TV,
yeah.
which, you know, parents are placing 6 months old as soon as they can sit, you know, they're placed in front of the TV and that will occupy them. And you know, there are positive spins that are placed on it. You know, it's claimed to, you know, the colours are supposed to stimulate their mind and, you know, the different shapes are supposed to have that stimulation on their brain. But, you know, the social interaction between mother and child is the primary most important thing for a child, you know, from a very young age. Mm-hmm. Studies have shown that physical contact between mother and child is very important for the child to nourish, you know, flourish.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, children that are underweight, that have been premature, you know, it has sort of been, you know, beneficial for parents to have contact with those children so that they actually thrive,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, and also if we look at a child and the way they develop, studies have shown that children under the age of three have benefited more from interaction with their mothers, with their fathers, with their caregivers, than actually being sent off to nursery. You know, the family interaction is actually of greater benefit to them educationally and academically than actually those children that are packaged off to nursery and, you know, their parents go straight to work.
Mm.
So, you know, interaction between parents and children, grandparents and children are so important and it's so essential for their learning. And we find that the TV just hinders that and it just creates an obstruction and a barrier between parents and their children.
Perfect. So then can we say that, I mean, depression is rife in this country. Can we say that the TV helps, doesn't help?
We can't establish a correlation that is so vast.
But can you say that the social interaction, because the social interaction is less and maybe more dependent on the TV, therefore maybe potentially it's feeding into...
Well, there is a lot of research at the moment that's being done in to see how many hours people spend on social networks and on television and how depressed or not depressed they feel, so moods. So this is measured on scales and it's mm-hmm. quite scientific. And the correlation has been established that the more time you spend away from people, more on social networks, more on TV, the more depressed you will feel. So in that sense, we do have some kind of idea. So I do agree with you to some extent that
mm-hmm.
yes, it might have an impact on us because we are not interacting with real people. We can see a bad effect of it on us, though we can't really say it's because children have seen TV. Though I must agree with Sakina, children who have been placed in front of TVs as in the age of 2 or 3 years old
mm-hmm.
have been observed to have attention deficiencies when they are 5 and 6
yeah.
years old, and this is marked. A lot of teachers have observed this. There is a vast literature on the area.
Any comments? Please?
Yes, I completely agree. I find that you know, studies have shown that television actually impacts on a child's academic success.
Mm-hmm.
So the amount of television that they've watched from a young age until they reach the age of 26 determines their academic success and how successful they are at that age.
That's because they're wasting too much time in front of the TV.
Exactly. That's exactly right. TV actually takes them away from doing those productive things, whether it is doing schoolwork, you know, doing anything, research for themselves, or whether it is actually getting physically active and going out there and taking part in a sport. If you think about the amount of hours that children nowadays watch TV, they could fill those hours with all sorts of different things. And if those things were done consistently, they could achieve a new skill, whether it's sports, or whether it's something active, whether it's something academic.
Mm-hmm.
This will help them further their academic career. So, and essentially the TV takes that time away, it takes those hours away
mm-hmm.
in one's day for doing things that are productive. And this in itself can lead to depression, because if you're not doing something productive with your life, eventually you'll feel a loss. You'll feel at a loss for those hours. And Allah says in the Quran, you know, he swears by the time, he says, man is at a loss. And television is one thing that causes the greatest loss in people's lives because they have wasted so much time, which is unproductive, in front of the television.
You know, I just want to pick up on something. You said moods and how moods are affected. I remember watching my niece who lives abroad. She was watching, I'm not sure what she was watching, but all of a sudden she was crying and I was like,
oh.
What's wrong? She's like, she's fallen into a hole and I don't know if she's going to get out. And I was like, you're 9. why are you taking this so much to heart? Mm-hmm. So can we say, I mean, and the fact that the program was over and she knew that it was a program, that it wasn't real life, can we then determine that, yes, TV does have has an effect on your emotional well-being?
Of course, yeah, it has. I mean, you go into a film for 2.5 hours or 3 hours and you
People
come out and you feel,
out.
Yes, you feel it's stayed with you. That's a piece of information that's, you know, branded into your brain and it's there. You know, even though it's a film and we all know it's a film, we still do feel like, oh, you know, it affects us. It changes the way we see things, maybe, perhaps, to some extent. About TV and advertising, the issue is that a lot of advertisers target children because the parents are not aware of the adverts and what products the children like and buy. Mm-hmm. But the advertisers have invested so much money and have employed so many psychologists to observe children, to see how they interact with toys, with things. And in the States since 1984, I think, there has been a deregulation. So the government doesn't observe, it doesn't control anymore mm-hmm. what's aired and what's not. So the spending of children are a huge source of income because their parents give them money and the children have, you know, the ability to buy anything.
Yeah.
So advertisers have been able to target them, and not just on TV, but on computers and little games that they play. That you have those toys with little codes that the parents are completely unaware of, but the children know how to access that code, how to get more advertising going, how to see exactly what they want to buy. And you ask any 10-year-old and they will tell you a whole list of things that they have seen on TV that they want for, you know, eight.
Mm. So. No, I completely agree, and I think it's, you know, the children are the ones that are being targeted, you know, with advertising in between programs. But one thing that's really sad about children's programs is you find that, you know, you wouldn't really think this, but there are more acts of violence on children's programs than other programs.
Totally agree.
And these acts of violence are taken in a humorous way and is desensitizing children.
Yeah.
And I think I've heard yourself speaking about this issue and saying that, you know, the more you watch acts of violence, the more desensitized you get to them, where you reach a point where you feel it's normal. And this is something that's having a huge effect on the psyche of our children.
Yeah, no, definitely. So if we take it one step back again, you know, we were talking about going to the cinema and things being, you know, embedded in your head. When you go to the cinema, I guess the one advantage, I think, of being in a cinema is that everything comes rated. So it's either a U or a 12 or a 15 or an 18. And cinemas are obliged, you know, to check your ID if you look under the age, you know, and then they will determine whether that film is okay for you to watch. My issue then with watching TV at the home is there is no such regulation. I mean, yeah, okay, fine, if you're watching a movie, you know, it will come up with a rating beforehand, but if as a parent you're busy, you know, running around, you've already missed that rating, you don't know what your child is watching. Do we need more regulations in the home, do you think, or do we just need to, I don't know, parental lock things, or, you know, what advice would you
give? I definitely give the advice to parents to watch out for what their children are seeing. The main airing times of children's programs have a lot of advertising targeted mainly at children.
Mm.
So, you know, while one program is showing, you have a lot of breaks in between, mm-hmm. and the children watch so much more advert time rather than actually the program time itself. So what I would suggest to parents is to strictly monitor what exactly are the channels showing, what channels are on TV. A lot of parents that I know of have decided to keep the TV at home, mm-hmm. but to take off the cable so that they don't have all these channels.
Yeah.
But what they do instead is make TV time somehow family time, where they watch a DVD together, which they all agreed on, and the parents know this is safe to watch.
Yeah.
It's for the children's age, it's appropriate, it's this, it's that. So this is
problem
much
with
more
that
beneficial.
Then is the adults end up watching animation because there's nothing else out there for them to watch.
To be honest, if you watch mainstream British TV at the moment, it is so bad that you don't want your child to see this. You don't want to see this yourself.
Yeah, no, definitely.
A lot of stuff is just, it's not very educational on one hand side. On the other hand side, it is not just an entertainment factor. Mm. In fact, it's not even entertaining. It's just kind of slowing down the mental processes of people, you know, filling it in with junk. So they don't think about the main issues that they are supposed to be thinking about in their lives. And, you know, for example, what is the purpose of life? Things like that. Yeah. I mean, it makes my heart beat harder when I see a 13-year-old ask what the purpose of their life is. It's great, and we should be thinking like this, because we have only a limited, you know, number of years that we spend on this earth, and we have to leave an impact. We have to do something with our lives that's not beneficial to us alone, but to everybody else. And according to that, what Sakina was saying earlier, there is a 10,000-hour rule. So if you want to be professional at anything, you spend 10,000 hours on something. This is like the period between 15 and 25, which a lot of children, young people, name it whatever you want, if they start when they're 5 until they're 15, they've watched so much TV. Instead of that TV, they could have done so many more productive things that would have led their cognition to develop much more. They would have, you know, developed, if they read more, they have a better verbal style, they speak better, they write better, they have the capability to express ideas and share ideas and entertain ideas without actually accepting them. These are all really, really important things that we can do as people, and we should not give away that potential that we have. And you know, it might be easier to put your child in front of the TV, but who is taking care of your child? Is it the TV that's educating it, or are you?
No, definitely.
That's so true, and I 100% agree that, you know, parents need to put parental controls on the television channels. And you know Sky Plus has 800 odd channels, so and they come as a package. So parents need to go through those channels, and you know, while they're not in the room, while they're away for a short period of time, they need to know that their children are safe, they're not watching adult content, you know, they're not watching things that are non-permissible. So those parental controls should be put in place. And I think nowadays, with technology advancing, there's so many different things that parents can do. I was speaking to a parent at school recently, and she said that in her house, this TV is set that it only stays on for half an hour. Oh, so wow. After half an hour, it just switches off completely. So that's just automated now. And so the children are used to the fact that they're only watching half an hour a day, and they're watching it together. So that's very important. But I also feel with technological advancement as well, it's not only the TV that needs to be controlled. It's YouTube, it's the iPad, it's the smartphones. Those need to have parental controls. And actually, the Western society has recognized this, and you know, parents have recognized this, and teachers in school have also recognized this, to the extent that we've actually had a workshop and a seminar for parents within my daughter's school, where we've been invited to attend. And they have actually discussed safety on the internet and educated adults as to how they can actually make, you know, their children more safe within their homes by regulating the internet, you know, and giving us all these tips about how to keep an eye on our children, you know, with the internet being so, you know, so vast as it is, you know, and it's really important for parents to be educated in that way.
Are we being naive when we, I mean, if you look at Sky Plus, for example, the further down you go, I think it starts 600 or something, they classify the children's channels. And I remember walking in on my niece and everyone just sat there. I don't even think they were paying as much attention as maybe I did when I walked in. But this so-called children's channel was talking about things that was way above their age. And I was just like, this is children's TV. At which point I was like, right, this is banned, this is banned, this is banned. Nobody's watching TV unless I'm in the room with them. And I just feel that as Muslims, do we then need to be more aware? Because socially acceptable for the West is not religiously acceptable for a Muslim. And do you find yourself, I'll come to you, Sakina, first. Do you find yourself monitoring your kids' TV more because you are a Muslim?
Yes, definitely 100%. Because, you know, from the beginning, when my children were very young, I was very conscious when, you know, music was being played. And I just felt like music has, you know, a spiritual negative effect on us. So I wanted to regulate that, make sure that they knew that, okay, when, you know, when music is being played, you put the volume low, you know. And also with children's TVs and children's movies as well, there are certain things that are, and certain aspects of life that are brought out, even in children's movies, that you don't want to expose your children to. So it's very important, and I've been so vigilant in taking care of what my children watch from an early age, to the extent that, you know, for some time they were just watching Islamic TV. They were very into different Islamic TV channels, and you know, we felt much safer at that point, because you know, it was much better for them to be watching those channels rather than even the channels that they say are children's channels, but you know, explore concepts that we're not ready to discuss with our children as of yet.
So do you feel, and I'll come to your end, that TVs are distorting people's perception of reality.
Oh, definitely. Just think of Disney.
That's true, yeah.
Yes. Do you feel like you have a clear concept of what life is like? It doesn't just end with someone getting married. You know what I mean?
Happily ever after.
Exactly. So, yes, definitely, because there has to be an entertainment factor to the shows. Otherwise, they would not be aired. People would not be watching them. They don't want to see something that is that they have at home all day, every day. They want to see something that's interesting. So it can be a certain issue. It can be a social problem. It can be a TV show that is just centered around doctors. Even though, to be honest, doctors' lives are nothing.
It's nothing like, as dramatized as it is on
exactly.
TV.
So there has to be an entertainment factor. So yes, definitely, a lot of people have completely distorted perceptions of careers because of the television.
Perfect. I'm going to come to you, Sakina, in a minute. We're going to cut just now for a very quick break. To my viewers, I hope you've enjoyed the first half of this show, where we're looking at TV and the effects of televisions, and that actually you need to be really mindful of the fact that they are having an effect on people's psyche and they are distorting people's realities out there. So do join us in the second half, where we will be discussing more about TV and the effects of it. Welcome back to today's show, where we're looking at TV and the effects that TV can have on us as people, but especially on children. So if I can come straight back to Sakina, before the break we were looking at the about TV affecting the social realities of life, and Rend gave us the example of Disney. Have you seen it play out with your children about their reality being a little bit different?
Yes, I think Disney sort of introduces this fantasy concept where, you know, all these things that aren't really real are made to seem very real. And I think if you allow your children to get carried away with these concepts, then you are distorting their image of reality. And by carried away, I mean, you know, you see some children who've watched the movie, they're wearing the T-shirt, they've got all the products, and they really believe in certain characters like Superman or Batman, you know, to the extent that they try and fly, or they try and jump off certain things that are of a, you know...
Until they realise they're not a cat and exactly. They don't land on all fours.
So it does distort their reality. So I think if you allow your children to get carried away in it, I think there's a huge danger there. Whereas if they're, you know, just innocently watching something and they know it has no consequence in their lives, they know it's just a bit of entertainment... And perhaps if parents and children watch it together and they can discuss it afterwards, that's of benefit, because then
isn't that down to a parent having the time?
That is. But if you look at studies and if you look at advice when it comes to TV and movies, it has been proved that if parents actually sit with their children and watch with their children, you know, they can monitor what they're watching, they can discuss it afterwards, they can actually see for themselves the effect it's having on their children, and it is actually encouraged. So perhaps not on an everyday basis, but perhaps once a week if they have that sort of family time where they're actually watching something together, that can be of benefit. But another way in which the media and television actually distorts reality is if you look at, you know, action movies where, you know, violence takes place, but the individual don't get hurt. And this actually has such a negative effect, especially on boys who are more susceptible to this, where this appeals to them much more. And you find in America, you know, there are statistics where violence has increased and, you know, had a dramatic effect on young children because they have watched, you know, movies of violence where, you know, it kind of desensitizes them to violence, and it makes them feel that, yes, they've watched something where somebody has done a violent act on someone else, but they haven't got hurt, so it could be okay on an everyday basis. And this can actually be carried through to computer games and PlayStation and things like that, where violence takes place but individuals don't get hurt, they just get right back up.
Grand Theft Auto,
yes,
for example.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's these negative images being imprinted on the minds of our young children that can have, you know, such negative effects, and it can increase the violence in societies.
I mean, I was reading that, you know, UNESCO has recorded in one of its reports that 27% of youths convicted for crimes were motivated after they watched that act on TV. Do you have any
I would say that research in that area is inconclusive.
Okay.
Because it's not clear that just watching something will lead to someone being criminal or violent, even though there is a lot of a child acting out that's been observed, especially in schools. I mean, you can't have everything scientifically proven because it has to be testified and all that. But certain things are observable, and a lot of people, a lot of parents, a lot of teachers are aware of the effects of television on children. Though, for example, things like the stereotypical ideas about how women are supposed to be, how men are supposed to be, they are very clear in children's movies, in Disney again, in everything, in every show. I mean, the princesses are always the ones that need help. They're always the damsels in distress. The princes, the guys, are always supposed to be the heroes, saving somebody. Maybe the guy doesn't want to save her.
Yeah.
You know, but his sole role in the film or in the movie or in the cartoon is to be the hero. So a lot of children have these negative perceptions. And I watched Ted's talk recently about the topic where the man was saying that he was watching movies with his children. And he really felt that his daughter didn't have an adequate role model to look up to because the guys were having all the adventures, all the actions. They were performing amazing things. They were going on discoveries. And the girls were basically just at home.
Yeah.
So it is not that bad, though I do observe the difference. So my suggestion would be not just monitoring, but rather being selective about what content your children see. For example, there is a new Disney movie, I think it's called Frozen. It's about the relationship of two sisters. And that's a different kind of love that we want our children to explore, you know, because it's like so important to be able to accommodate for the other's weakness and things like that. So that's something nice. So Disney is definitely, for example, I'm taking the example of Disney now, but they are incorporating advice because, you know, they have had a long history of making movies and cartoons.
So you're talking about Disney. Skin, I'm going to come to you. I mean, obviously we have the shahwa of imagination within us. Do you feel that TV is feeding the shahwa? I mean, you're kind of imagining that there is a Batman, you put a cape on and you can fly through the sky. Do you think that religiously, from a spiritual level, it's quite detrimental?
Yes, I think if taken to another level, it can be detrimental. But if, as you said, if you actually monitor this, if you regulate and if you're selective about the TV that your children watch and that you watch yourself, then I think you can sort of keep it under control and just make sure that, you know, you don't get carried away with these concepts or your children don't get carried away with these concepts. And this will be directly proportional to the amount of time they spend watching all these films and watching TV. You find the more they watch the movie, the more they'll believe in it. For example, you'll get children that will watch the same movie many, many times again and again.
Yeah.
And then they'll actually start to believe in those concepts because they've watched it again and again and it's been ingrained on their minds. Whereas if they watch it just the once, they'll probably be more likely to forget about it sooner or later. So I think it's the extent to which you take these things.
Can I comment on the positive effects?
Yeah, go for it.
We have been very negative so far. Okay, one negative thing before I go to the positive side. The thing is, when you watch a lot of TV as a child, you become used to fast pace. So you don't enjoy reading, for example, because it's fun, but it's very slow pace.
Yeah.
So you have to have a lot of patience. So a lot of children that I've observed, they don't enjoy these things anymore because they would rather go and have a video game. Or
what's worse is you wait for the film to come out rather than read the book.
Exactly. Yeah, I've seen that on adults as well. So on the positive effects, a lot of concepts like friendship, like bravery, like honesty, they are still portrayed in cartoons, for example, to children, or they are still central themes in a lot of movies, even though you have all those other things that you don't want your children to see, or, you know, just fake concepts of love, for example. We still being bombarded by them, even as adults. Though, if you discuss it with, you know, with whoever you saw the film with, or your children, if you watch a certain thing, and for example, I don't know whether you know Kung Fu Panda. It's a children's it's a children's cartoon, and my little brother really loves it. So he watches it, and I've watched it with him. I've discussed things with him. And what I see in that cartoon, what I approve of him watching it, is because he has those concepts of friendship, of honesty, of being, you know, loyal to your people, to your friends, to those that you trust, and other things like, you know, violence always happening to those that are bad. I have to speak to him about this so he understands, you know, it's actually it's not, we're not supporting violence. It's not, you know, the villain can change. The villain is not going to be forever evil.
Yeah.
So I do think there are still positive effects of television.
Okay, so I'm going to come to you with the next one. When I was growing up, I used to watch cartoon Popeye. And all Popeye had the muscles and Olive was just like stick thin. And I may be generalizing, but do you think that TV affects your self-esteem? Like, if you're not shaped a particular way, and you find all cartoons, they all look the same, from Barbie to the Little Mermaids to the Disney princesses, because since we've talked about Disney quite a lot, they're all the same shape, they all have the same kind of hair, all the men happen to be these muscular hero type kind of people. I don't see any dweebs, and if they are there, they're the ones being picked on. Do you think that it's affecting the self-esteem? In fact, it even portrays that if you're clever, then you're the nerd, and if you're the nerd, that's not good.
Yes, it definitely does, because the villain is always the ugly one, which is very unfortunate, because in reality, everyone looks different. Some people who are very beautiful are not very good, or are not very good friends to be around, or are not good influences on us, while some of the people who might not be physically as attractive are those that have very good personalities that we want to spend time with, because they are such positive influences in our lives. Though, again, that can go vice versa. Some very beautiful people are very good. And, you know, so I feel a lot of cartoons, for example, are very generalized in that sense, but it's because they pick up those very innate things in us where we avoid those that look a bit weird. Weird.
Yeah.
Because no one really does look weird.
Society defines it,
picks on stereotypes. I agree with you, but to be honest, I don't think it's cartoons as such. I think it's more toys that have that effect, because with Barbie, for example, there have been studies on self-esteem in children and young people and adults, so it's more longitudinal studies. So they take place over a few years and monitor the same individuals. They show that especially girls' self-esteem is very much affected by what kind of dolls they play with. And if it's Barbie, the proportions are unrealistic. So a lot of people will criticize themselves. They wish they were like Barbie. They wish they were this. They wish they were that. So in order to accommodate, there have been a lot of toys and similar Barbies, I don't know what their names are. They have different skin tones, different eye colors, different hair colors, but still the same proportions.
Not a different shape, yeah.
So there's toy manufacturer that recently release toys with realistic proportions just to observe the effect on children, and those children that play with those toys have better concept of self than those that do not. So especially with the recent changes in the toy industries, I mean, the clothing for Barbies, I don't know whether you have seen some of them, it's just not age appropriate for the young girls.
Yeah,
I 100% agree that, you know, it comes from the media, and then it infiltrates in the products and the consumerism and the market. And actually, there was an article that was released that if Barbie was an actual person, her body would just collapse, because her proportions are not sufficient to support her organs. And so she's not a realistic concept at all. And it does affect children's self-esteem, you know, because they come across these images all the time. You know, they play with the toys, and Islam actually plays a huge emphasis, you know, when it comes to upbringing of children, on role playing from a very young age. So and you know, it's children who will learn through play. So, you know, playing with, for example, kitchen sets, or playing with toolboxes, playing with a Hoover, you know, a toy version of it. This is all things that are encouraged in Islam, but they have to be realistic. And I think things like Barbie dolls, although, you know, Islam would encourage playing with, you know, sort of like dolls in the form of a baby, because that will sort of nurture a young daughter's or a young girl's, you know, motherly instincts from a very young age. So Islam would encourage that. But things like Barbie are very unrealistic. And, you know, I think it's advisable for parents to sort of stay away from those images as much as possible.
Though I would not forbid my children to play with Barbies. What I find more dangerous on the children is not just what toys they play with. This is relatively harmless, because a lot of girls have played with dolls and they have not become, you know, a victim of self-esteem issues. They have, though, been subjected to a lot of advertising, which is everywhere. So the children, as young as soon as they can open their eyes actually and see, we have billboards everywhere, we have posters, we have things everywhere that show how the perfect person is supposed to be. Mm. And you compare yourself, and the reality is always very different to the ideal image. But this is the, you know, the whole point in advertising. It's to show you something that you is unattainable, so that you work towards it, so that you invest and you buy. And, you know, it's so not everybody has to necessarily develop self-esteem issues just because they played with a doll or they have been exposed to advertising, though it does have an effect on some people.
That's true, I do agree, but I also think that, you know, it's the parents that actually shape an individual as well. So if you have trained your children, you know, to teach them certain values and certain morals, then the effect that product will have on them is much less. And I'll give you a very simple example. My daughter, I think when she had her third or fourth birthday, she received a present in the form of some sort of a doll. It wasn't exactly a Barbie, but it was a doll that wasn't dressed very decently. And when she saw it, she just burst out laughing, and she was like, this doll doesn't have any clothes. So, you know, it's something that she found extremely funny because she saw the way I dressed, and she knows that I dress, you know, we cover as Muslims, we dress decently even within the home. Mm. So it's just a concept that was so alien to her that she just found it very funny. So it's actually the parents that actually shape the way a children reacts to these things. But if parents aren't careful, they can allow their children, or if they don't guide their children enough, that's when they're more susceptible to these products having a huge and lasting impression on them.
I see a lot of times that it's not what the parents say,
what the parents do.
Yeah, that gets picked up on, and the children really pick up on things. They are very subtle, very, very intelligent. Never underestimate the children's ability to pick up on things.
Mm.
So you can tell them one thing, but if you do something else, they will pick up on what you do rather than what you say. So your daughter has observed you being modest and everything. So she has taken this as the concept of how one is supposed to be, because as children, we don't know what is the right thing to do. We just see our parents and we think our parents are perfect until we realize as adults, oh, maybe they're not so perfect. They have limitations.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, like, your daughter has made the right step. I remember being a kid and getting a Barbie doll and then changing her clothes, like making stuff for her so that she's covered. So, yeah, stuff like that, you know.
Do we feel that, I mean, I've been looking at TV for a little while now, and I feel that it's challenging social norms. It wants to change what is socially accepted. So, for example, in the 1800s, there was a film called The Kiss. They acted out this public display of affection on screen, and the critics of this film then asked for police intervention because there was uproar. This was in the 1800s.
Yeah.
If you take that very same concept to the 21st century, that public display of affection is the norm.
Mm-hmm.
You're kind of like, and it's almost as if, you know, when you're enjoying good and you forbid evil, it feels like morally they now want to, you know, push the norms. Because even, like, I remember there was a big thing in the papers back in the day about EastEnders and, you know, them portraying a homosexual Muslim, and it was, and I'm just like, but why are they showing things like this? And it feels like they want to challenge these norms so that you begin to think that things are acceptable.
A lot of people are watching TV. A lot of people will be influenced by what they see.
Mm.
So it's not just challenging social norms, it's making the idea of what is socially unacceptable
acceptable.
Exactly. If you want to brainwash a large group of people, show them something that's not acceptable for a long time, make it seem normal, make them identify with it emotionally, make them feel sorry for the person, and they will feel sorry for the whole concept. They will feel they identify with the whole concept. Things that are not normally accepted for them are going to be seen as acceptable. So it does act as like a mass control device to show people what you want them to believe, what is more profitable for you as a business or as a government, rather than actually what they should be thinking according to their norms and their religion and all that.
Definitely, I agree, and I feel that, you know, it's those individuals that don't have a strong religious background or a strong moral sort of barometer that are most affected by this. Because as you mentioned before, society keeps changing. The Western society keeps changing its values and its norms. You know, the goalposts are constantly being shifted. But religion doesn't change, you know, principles don't change.
See, we're saying religion doesn't change, principles don't change. But if we take 1 minute to ponder over the homosexuality in Islam, it's always been a no. Yet EastEnders wanted to portray it, and I feel that they wanted to portray it because, yes, Western secular values without any religious beliefs will change because they have no goalpost. But we do, and I kind of like feel that religion then becomes a victim to the media.
It does.
Definitely, 100%. I think Islam is targeted in the media. We see this, you know, till today, and we've seen it for a very long time. And this concept of Islamophobia has been prevalent for a very long time. And it's like, you know, I feel that the Western society are threatened by the religion of Islam because it's the fastest growing religion in the world. And because its concepts are in direct contradiction to the Western values, which mean that if actually the Western society were to adopt Islamic values, they would lose out on so many things. They would lose out, their economy would lose out because of all the non-Islamic things that are being, you know, put out there on the market.
Mm.
A very simple example, you know, in Canada, in a case of a drink driving incident,
mm-hmm.
for a short time, drinking was actually banned. There's a ban on drinking in one small county in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
It happened for a month. After 1 month, it was observed that a number of industries suffered as a result. You know, hotels, casinos, pubs, restaurants, they all suffered. And then this ban was lifted. So uh-huh. they recognized that drinking has a negative effect on society. Yes, it causes drink driving, it causes loss of life. But on the other hand, they recognize also that if they give it up, yeah. then they're going to lose out on their
industry.
There is
a disparity. I agree with her to some extent, though. There's a disparity between what industries want and what people want.
Mm.
A lot of people do disagree with drink driving. A lot of industries still make drinking seem fine. It makes
yeah.
it seem like a good thing to do. Makes it seem like a social thing.
Mm.
So what happens is there's a disparity. We cannot judge everybody because there are some people that absolutely think it's unethical. You know, you're causing another person harm. You're going to be drinking and driving. You're putting other people at risk and yourself included. So what happens is there is a conflict of interests.
Yeah.
It's the capitalist mindset. It's not necessarily the West itself. It's not that, you know, that Islam is in contradiction with the Western values, because we do have a lot in common. We have things like, you know, we have all the ideals in common because they are human, they are universal.
Perfect. Brilliant. I'd like to thank you both for your contributions today. To my respected viewers, I do hope you have enjoyed today's show. We were talking about the TV and the effects on the mindset. And I think what we've established is that as parents, as carers, what you need to do is make TV time family time so that you're able to vet it. And any notions out there that aren't realistic, then sit down and discuss them with children. I do hope you have enjoyed today's show. I will see you next week. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.